Muhammad
Nabina. Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me. And I try to remember not to take anything for granted. 'Cause I know that one day...
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Good morning to everyone out there. Welcome to Everyday Muslim, the show where we explore faith and its relevance to our daily lives. I'm Rashida Adetun Okeolani, and I'll be your host for today. Today is going to be special. At the same time, it is timely because in some days' time, we'll be celebrating the Children's Day. That's on Tuesday, inshallah, Qatullah. And because of that, we will be dedicating today's program, today's episode, to the children. We want to know about them, we want to hear about them, and we want to know how the topic also affects them. So it's going to be a two-in-one episode. If you're just joining us, you're on to Women Radio 91.7 FM, and this program is brought to you in collaboration with MPAC and Women Radio. Today's episode, as I said earlier on, is special at the same time timely and is dedicated to the children, their emotional and psychological well-being. It's what we will be looking at today, and how the Prophet was able to use, or let me say, help out when it comes to mental health. And our topic is the prophetic medicine, psychology, and mental health. Our guest will be joining us virtually very soon. We will also have some of our students, some children will be joining us also on this program because it's dedicated to them actually. So they'll be joining us virtually also. Before I move on, I would want us to get a Quranic recitation from one of the children that will be joining us. He will be introducing himself, and the school is attending. And the chapter he's going to be reciting for us is from Surah Al-Luqman. We all know, majority of us know what Surah Al-Luqman is all about. Mostly, it's mainly about parenting children and the story of how Prophet Luqman was able to also speak to his children on how they are supposed to behave. Assalamu alaikum. Do we have Faiz there?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Your name, your full name?
My name is Faiz Ibrahim Kugumeru.
Can you speak a bit louder?
My name is Faiz Ibrahim Ugumeru.
Okay, you're welcome. You can give us the current presentation that you have for us.
I am a student of Darussalam Tahfiz International Academy.
Okay.
We are here to present to you some verses on child upbringing from Surah Al-Luqman, chapter 31. Verses 13 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم يا بني إنها تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وقصد في مشيك واغضب من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير
جزاك الله كيران الله أكبر. Thank you very much, Faiz. I believe we have somebody to give us the translation there also.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
My name is Arif Akupola. Here is the translation of Surah Luqman, verses 13, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Verse 13 said, "And remember, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, O my son, don't join others in worship with Allah. Indeed, joining others in worship with Allah is a major sin." Verse 16 said, "O my son, Allah's knowledge and power is so great. If something is equal to the weight of a grain of mustard seed, and if it is made inside a rock or in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring that forth on the day of resurrection. Allah is subtle in bringing out that grain when acquainted with his location." Verse 17 said, "O my son, perform salah and command people to do good and forbid them from evil and be patient in facing your hardship. Indeed, these are from the mandatory commands of Allah." Verse 18 says, "And don't swell your cheek for the people with arrogance, nor walk on the earth boastfully. Indeed, Allah does not like the arrogant boasters." Verse 19 says, "And be moderate in your walk and lower your voices. Indeed, the worst of all the voices is the grain of ashes."
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullahi barakatuh, jazakallahu khairan to the both of you. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. We will be going to Rayyan Egbeyemi. She will also be introducing herself. She has a special message to the world. Assalamu alaikum, Rayyan.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much. Your name and your school?
I'm Rayhan Egbeyemi, and I'm a student of Islamic Children's Study Academy.
Thank you. What's the message to the world?
What did you say?
What's the message you have for the world? I know you have a presentation for us.
My message is for Children's Day. It's going to talk about who a child is, how our parents should nurture us, how the government can help in nurturing us, and what we should do as children.
Please go ahead and deliver it.
In Islamic terms, a child is a male or female that comes from the mother's womb. All children are a gift from Allah, and we need to be honored. In Quran 42, verse 49, Allah says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Lillahi mulku samawati wal ard. Yakhluqu ma yasha. Yahabu liman yasha inasa. Wa yahabu liman yasha al-dhukur." This means, unto Allah belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. He creates what he wills. He bestows female offspring upon whom he wills, and bestows female offspring upon whom he wills. This surah proves that Allah can either give a male or female child to anyone he likes. Therefore, if you get the chance to have a child, say Alhamdulillah and take care and nurture that child. Our parents should not make us feel bad. Do not yell at us for our mistakes. Make sure we are not protested or bullied. Parents should not compare us with our siblings, and they should make us feel unique. The government can also help in nurturing of children. They can provide children with quality healthcare systems, adequate nutrition, safe and supportive environments, quality education, social support, etc. By doing this, our parents and government are playing a crucial role in the nurturing of children, which means they are nurturing future leaders. As much as parents and governments need to do their duties and nurture us, we should also be responsible. We must be obedient and respectful to our parents. Children should never break laws, and they should always practice Islam and its deen. We should read Quran and Hadith and act it out. Jazakumullahu khairan. Happy Children's Day to all the children around the world. May you have a blessed Children's Day.
Ameen, 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 ameen. Jazakallahu khairan, Rayan. Thank you very much for that beautiful message. I'm sure that the parents, everyone in concern, the children are also listening to you, and they have also picked one thing or the other. Thank you very much. May Allah enrich all of you in knowledge and iman. Ameen. Now, I will be introducing our guest for today, who has joined us. Is a friend of the house, Naturopath Abdullah Oyekole Andrew. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good evening, good day, ma'am. Good day, everyone. It's a privilege to be here with you. Nah.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Naturopath, yes,
Abdullah Oyekole Andrew is the CEO of the Criterion Trado Medical Herbal Home, the founder of Criterion Life App. He is a highly skilled and experienced naturopath, marriage counselor, and a sex coach. He is dedicated to helping individuals and couples achieve optimal health, harmony, and fulfillment in their lives. With holistic approach that combines naturopathic principles, counseling techniques, and specialized coaching methods, he provides comprehensive support to patients seeking to enhance their overall well-being, strengthen their relationships, and improve their sexual health. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 91.7 FM, and Everyday Muslim is in collaboration with MPAC and Women Radio. As I said earlier on, our topic is prophetic medicine and mental health, and it is dedicated to the children. If you would like to call us, our phone lines are 0700-917-917. Prefer to use the text or WhatsApp message 0815-597-917. As a naturopath, how do you define the connection between the body, mind and soul in prophetic medicine.
Okay. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah Muhammad bin Abdullah wa ala ahlihi wa sahbihi wa man walah wa ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa barakatuh.
As been introduced by the host, my name is Natobat Oyekole Abdullahi Andrew, and it's a privilege to be with you once again. May Almighty Allah increase every one of us in goodness. The question being thrown to me at Natobat, how do I see the body, mind, and soul working together? As a Natobat, as a Muslim, and as a prophetic medicine practitioner, we understand the fact that the body, the mind, the soul works together. There is connection between what you have inward and what you have outward. Like what is inward you, I mean within your soul, within your mind, within your heart, and this reflects on your body, this reflects on your actions, this reflects on your general wellness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in one of the authentic narrations from him, he said, "Ala وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضُغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ عَلَى وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ وَهُ الْبُخَارِ وَالْمُسْلِمُ." The Prophet said, verily, in a man, in the body of a man, there is a piece of flesh. In the body of a man, there is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is okay, if this piece of flesh is in good state, if this piece of flesh is in good condition, it reflects on the entire body of the person. That is, this piece of flesh will reflect in the entire body system of the person. And while the first piece of flesh that I'm referring to, if it is also in a bad state, if it's not working optimally, either spiritually or physically, if there are certain conditions affecting this piece of flesh, then it will reflect on the entirety of the person's body on a general level. Then the person said, listen, wahi al-qalb. This particular piece of flesh that I'm referring to is the heart. In this hadith now, the prophets make it clear to us that the heart and the body are interconnected. We know we feel emotions with the heart. We reflect with our mind and so many other things that you know we do with our heart. I mean spiritually, all right, and emotionally. Also, our heart physically, the work of our heart is to pump blood and supply oxygen to all parts of the body. So if there is a fault, if there is, you know, some certain conditions, either emotionally or physically or spiritually affecting this part, then it will reflect on the entirety of the person. So if you want to address health issues, we don't just address the physicality of the person. We understand that this is what we are seeing physically. It is a reflection that there is a problem underneath. So we have to address it both from the spiritual point of view, from the emotional point of view, then from the physical point of view. That is, we address the mind, the soul, and the body. So this is our best to achieve total wellness for a patient.
Zakulao, Karen. I was about to ask that. Why is this connected to the mental health? But alhamdulillah, you've been able to give us a brief explanation to that. So my next question to you, what prophetic herbs, foods or natural remedies have proven effective in supporting emotional balance, reducing anxiety or improving mood?
Now, barakallahu fikum for the question. So there are so many prophetic medicine, that is some prophetic recommended herbs and foods that helps to relieve anxiety, mental disorders, and other general body wellness, such as the honey. In the Quran, Allah talks about honey. Allah said, "Fihi shifa ul-linnat." Fihi shifa ul-linnat. Allah said, "Verily, in honey, Allah puts healing in it for the people. Allah puts healing. Allah puts cure for the ailments of of the people. So this is a general evidence. Allah did not restrict only to just maybe some particular disease. Allah said it is a general remedy for different ailments. So based on research, based on, you know, we have to research on, okay, since Allah told us that honey can be used for healing for different health conditions, so this is where medical science now came in. Like, okay, let's make research on what are the therapeutic actions, what are the medicinal compounds and properties, and you know, different health benefits that we can derive from honey. So from honey, honey helps to strengthen energy, it helps to promote calmness, it helps to support the body during stress and fatigue, and so many other health conditions. Also, the Prophet recommended black seed, that's Habbatu Sauda, that's Nigella Sativa. He said, fil Habbatu Sauda, shifa'un min kulli da'i illa sam. The verse said, verily, the black seed is a cure for all ailments except death. This hadith has it has so many explanations behind it. That does it mean that all health conditions, or there is, or it means that most health conditions. So what is more clear is that it's a cure for a lot of health conditions. Because in Arabic, if something can be used for like maybe like 70% of something, then you can say it works for all of it. Because it has taken the largest percentage of, you know, of what you want to use it for. So it works for a host of health conditions, and mental health conditions are also part of those conditions that can benefit from Habbatu Sauda, because it contains so many therapeutic actions. I don't want to waste time mentioning some of them. Also, olive oil, Zaytun Zaytun, is also very potent and effective to address mental health conditions. Allah said in the Quran, that you all do min shajaratin mubarakatin zaytuna. Allah said, verily, in that is in Surah An-Nur, that's Quran chapter 24, verse 35. Allah said, there is a light that comes from the blessed tree. A light that comes from the blessed tree, the tree of Zaytun. Allah called it shajaratun mubaraka. A blessed tree, and al baraka is ziyadatul khair. So if Allah said He puts blessing in something, it means that He puts lots of benefits in it. So some of the benefits that we can derive from zaytun is it helps to, you know, nourish the brain, it helps to improve cognitive function, it helps to stabilize the mood, it contains lots of antioxidants and healthy fats that can help to generally optimize one's health. Also, date is there, that is tamaru, dabinu. So this also contains so many therapeutic actions that is very beneficial for the nervous system, and it also helps to calm the body. We also have sha'ir, that's barley. So also, ijama is also a very potent prophetic medicine recommendation. The Prophet talked about ijama, and he said, ijama is a cure for host of health conditions. In fact, when the Prophet went for Al-Isra wal-Miraj, he said, the angels told me that, Ya Muhammad, muru ummataka bil-ijama. Ya Muhammad, muru ummataka bil-ijama. Oh Muhammad, that is when he went to the heavens to collect, that is when Allah commanded him to come to heaven for the salat. He said, all the angels he met on his way to Allah, they always tell him that, oh Muhammad, tell your ummah, command your nation that they should be conversant with hijama. In another hadith, the verse said, inna ahsana ma tadawaytum bihi al-hijama. Verily, the best form of healing that you can, you know, that you can practice for your health conditions is hijama. So there are so many research that have been done on hijama that prove that truly it is a cure for host of health conditions, including mental health issues. So these are just the six that I'll be listing right now. There are so many other recommendations that are from the Quran and from the hadith that can be used to balance one's mental health.
Jazakallah khairan. My next question is of I'll say is of two parts. And alhamdulillah, you are also a counselor. At the same time, you are into prophetic medicine. Men people believe and treat, they believe that mental health should be treated, or let me say that it should be treated purely spiritual, or it can also be strictly medical. From your own professional perspective, You are wearing two caps now. How can prophetic medicine offer a balanced path between the two?
Okay, good. So, when we talk of prophetic medicine also, part of what we need to know is that it is beyond just the medications you take in. Prophetic medicine is also, it contains some verses of the Quran, that is such as Rukyatu Shagiriya. It contains Adhkar. So these are faith healing, because then we classify them under faith healing. Because it is not that you are digesting something, then what you digested goes into your body to start, you know, producing some positive effects on your body. But this, you are making some recitations with the belief and faith and hope in God Almighty that verily what you are reciting will have positive impact on your health. So for those that have mental health issues, there are different, there are series of mental health conditions, right? So one of the ways I've been able to effectively address mental health conditions is by firstly educating the patient, orientating the patient, giving the patient a lot of, you know, word of, tell the patient to be patient, and also tell the patient to understand the fact that this is a test from Almighty Allah. So with words of encouragement, with words of strength, with, you know, bringing verses from the Quran, bringing a hadith from the Prophet to further strengthen the person's faith and make the person see the test that is he or she is going to have, a test of faith. So these has helped a lot of people. In fact, I still did this just yesterday. I have the patient I'm addressing her health condition right now. She has mental health issue, and with, you know, word of faith, word of from the Quran, these have effectively help to calm our body. And also balancing prophetic medicine with mental health is very, very achievable. With what I said right now, the first one is faith healing. Then we can include some of these herbs and food that I recommended. Also, part of prophetic recommendation for mental health issue is that you rest as much as possible. So, because this has a lot to do to help to improve your cognitive function, help to balance your mental state of health, and so on and so on and so forth. Also, being happy is also one of the prophetic recommendations for mental health issues. Also, engaging in afkar. Allah said, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, does the heart find calmness? Does the heart find tranquility? So for those having mental health conditions, maybe they are depressed, they are passing through anxiety, they are passing through so many, you know, negative states of mind, constant remembrance of Allah, Afkar, morning Afkar, evening Afkar, so many Afkar are available, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, and so many other Afkar. Chanting this Afkar make you closer to Allah and helps you, you know, see your body reduced drastically. So there are so many evidences from the Quran and from the Hadith that tells us that the more we get closer to Allah, the more our test of faith, you know, reduces gradually. So that's under that man.
Jazakallahu khairan. Now, this question I'm going to ask you, I wanted to help us link it to the children also. So we're talking about how it affects the children, at the same time it affects adults. Because I believe that not...
I missed that, please. Can you repeat
it? Okay, so the next question I'm going to ask you, I would like you to help us link it to the children and also the adults. It's about lifestyle. What role do lifestyle factors such as diet, sleep, breath work, and emotional detox play in prophetic model of healing the heart and the mind?
Okay, in the prophetic model of healing, lifestyle factor like diet, sleep, breath control, emotional detox plays a very foundational role in nurturing the mind and the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about our dietary, how we should eat, how best we should eat. In a hadith narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, the Prophet said, "Ma mala'u adami we are and shall run in Bapmihi." The Prophet said that the son of Adam does not feel a vessel worse than his stomach. That is, the vessel the vessel that we fill to the brim that is more worse than our stomach, there is none. So again, eating to the brim, eating to the till you are very, very full is one of the, you know, one of the reasons or one of the factors leading to series of health conditions. So, and we know as children love to eat a lot. Like, they just, even if they are few, they still want to, you know, they would love to make their mouth always moving, always eating. So if there is a way we can train them not to always be full, because if they are too full, then they feel weak. When they feel weak, so many things that they should have done actively, they won't be able to do it. So yes, they will eat, but eating should not be you eat till you are full. Because I said that this is the worst vessel that you can get filled. That is your stomach. So also, sleeping. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us also about how we should sleep. Like when one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said he won't be sleeping at all throughout the night because he wants to engage in tahajjud. He wants to get closer to Allah. He wants to recite the Quran all through the night. Then the Prophet told him that لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَلِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ فَأْتُوا كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍّ حَقَّهُ. The Prophet said that barely your body has a right over you. You know, the man said he won't be sleeping. The Prophet told him that your body, this your body, it has a right over you, and you have to take care of it. Your wife also has a right over you, and you have to give her a right diligently. And also your Lord, Almighty Allah, has a right over you. You have to serve him as much as you desire. Give each and every one of them their due right. Don't deprive your body its right because you want to get closer to Allah. And don't deprive your wife her right because you want to get closer to Allah. So you do everything, you know, with balance. You'll be balanced. So you sleep, you give yourself enough rest so that you can have strength to do other activities. Even Allah said in the Quran that he made وَجَعَلْنَا لَيْلًا لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا لَيْلًا لِبَاسًا. Allah said he makes the night as a covering for us so that we can rest during the night. We can rest during the night. So that's exactly about sleeping. Deep breaths, this can be seen in why making zikri, you are calm. And as I said in the Quran, وَقُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. And as I said, when you want to remember Allah, be calm. Don't shout. Remember Allah within yourself. Meditate while remembering Allah. So this is a form of healing also. Like you are meditating, you are remembering Allah, and you are reflecting on what you are reciting. So this is one of the recommendations by Allah, and it also has positive effects on our mental health. So about emotional detox, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us so many things we can do while being emotional. Like when a man came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, advise me, what should I do? He said, La tekdok, don't be angry. He said, okay, give me another advice. I just want you to advise me, like, how should I live my life? What recommendation can you give me? He said, La tekdok. He said it the second time, that don't be angry. Then he said, okay, I've heard, I won't be angry. Just give me another advice. He said, La tekdok. He said it three times. Don't be angry. Because when you are angry, you tend to do so many things that you wouldn't have done when you are in your normal state of mind. So with anger, so many things can be spoiled. With anger, so many relationships can be cut off. With anger, so many properties can be destroyed. So if you are able to manage your anger, even when you have what it takes, when you have all justification for your anger, but you are able to manage yourself, you are able to caution yourself. The Prophet said that a strong man is not the man that can defeat others during fight, but a strong man is the one that has self-control over himself, even when he's angry. Like, he has control over himself. He won't say a word out except that he thinks before he says it out. So this has lots of things to, you know, we've seen cases of people burning down house because of their anger. And this means that mentally they are not okay. So if we are able to manage that effectively, these are some of the recommendations from the Prophet to help, you know, manage our mental health. Also, confiding in Allah, that's tawakkul. Tawakkul is also one of the emotional detox. Tawakkul, having firm hope and faith in Almighty Allah. That all whatever happens to me, لا يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا عليه توكلنا. Nothing will afflict us. Nothing will affect us. No danger will harm us except what Almighty Allah has decreed for us. So if you have this belief that it is only what Almighty Allah has decreed for you that will happen, you won't see you. No, nothing will happen to you that will make you want to commit suicide. Like no situation will come over you and you feel like ending the game because of the problem you are going through. You know, if you have full tawakkul in Allah, you understand the fact that Allah said, "La nabluwannakum bishari wal khayri fitna wa ilayna turja'un." Verily, we will test you. We will test your faith with good and bad. We will test you with the good side and the bad side. So if you have this belief, you have this faith, you have this powerful unity of Allah, so no situation will happen to you except you will be calm while addressing them. You open Allah and you take the necessary step that you are meant to take. So these are some of the recommendations that can help to balance our emotional health and the light.
Jazakallah khairan, thank you very much. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on Women Radio 19.7 FM. And we are discussing prophetic medicine and mental health. My guest, Naturopath Abdullah, is still here with us. And the question I'll be asking you now, you mentioned that you have handled, that you have a case at hand. And I would like you to also give us a case that you have handled where natural prophetic remedies significantly improve the psychological state of the patient without using pharmaceutical drugs. Can you share one with us?
Okay, I have series of cases like that, alhamdulillah. So, like a case of a patient, she's a female. Most people that emotional issue can, anyone can have mental health conditions, but it is mostly common in the female folks because by nature they are emotional beings. So when some event, when some life, you know, happens to them, then they tend to go very emotional, and this affects their mental state of health. So I have a case of a woman who has issue in her marriage. She has a series of marital problems, which later end up in divorce. So this affected her to the extent that she has a condition called schizophrenia. That is, she's hallucinating, like she's seeing things that are not actually real. Like looking at the wall and thinking that maybe there is someone coming out from the wall and the person is trying to harm you. Like seeing so many negative imagination due to the fact that the traumatic experience she had, you know, with the divorce affected her and affected her mental health. So the therapies that are being employed to help her manage her health, and alhamdulillah, she's doing good. She's doing good now. In fact, she's remarried, and alhamdulillah, baraka Allah fiha, may Almighty Allah bless her home. So, amongst the therapies that we included is we preach to her that spiritual detox. We make her understand the fact that Almighty Allah always have a reason. Always have a reason for everything and anything that happens to any one of us. And I would love to give you one instance like this from the Quran. Like now, let's go to Surah Al-Kahf. When Almighty Allah told us about the story of Nabiullah Musa alayhi salam and the Khidr. Oh, hello.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, Allah told us about Nabiullah Musa alayhi salam and the Khidr in the glorious Quran. Allah said, before even reciting the verse, Allah told us that Musa went to Khidr that he wants to learn some things from him. Like he wants to learn from what Almighty Allah has bestowed Khidr from knowledge. So Khidr told him that there are some things that I'll be doing that you won't find normal. There are some things that I'll be doing that will be quite strange to you.
Mufa said, no, nothing. I will go along with you. Whatever happens, I will know it's part of the painting process. So both of them were going. Musa and Khidir were going. Then Allah said, when they boarded a boat, like they got on a boat, and on the boat, while going, Khidir took a tool and he tear open the boat. Like, you know, you're on water. Then someone just tore the boat. You know how we all feel like, wow, this person wants us to get down, right? It will be a very big shock. So Musa was like, why do you want to spoil the boat? Do you want us to all get down? This is an evil thing you've done. Then Khidir said, I told you can't be patient with me. I told you that whatever I'm doing will look very strange to you. So they keep on going and going and going. They met some boys. They met some kids playing. Then Khidir took one of the boys. Look at this. I want to link this to how whatever happens in our life has a reason. Even though the reason might not be apparent to us, even though we might not know the reason, but having trust in Allah and knowing that Allah will never, you know, will never inflict a pain on us except that He has something better for us to reserve. So, why going? Khidir, both of them, they saw some kids playing. Then Khidir took one of the boys. Then he killed him. In fact, the scholars of Tafsir said he took a stone and hit the boy on his head with the stone. We can all imagine how devastating that experience would be. Then Musa was like, You killed an innocent soul. You killed a boy without what has this boy done? Like the Jita Shay and Nukura. You've done the greatest of all evil. What you did is very, very bad. Then Khidir told him, I told you that you can't be patient with me because the things I'll be doing will be very, very strange. And to you, you won't be wrong. To everyone, to me, if it's me also, I won't be calm enough for such experience. So at the end, where I'm going with that, when Khidir was now telling Musa the reason behind all those things he did, he said, Wa'amal Gulam, he said, you saw that boy that I killed. Even before the Gulam, he said, you see that boat that I spoiled. Towards the direction that the boat is going through, there is a king at the end of the sea. That the king collects any boat that is in good condition. And this boat belongs to these poor people. They are using it to survive. If the boat will get there in good state, the king will collect it. So for that reason, I put a dent on it so that the king will not collect it and they can continue their lifestyle. They can continue making their source of living from that. Look at this. Look at the hikmah behind it. The reason behind it is not clear to those people themselves, as in to the boat owners, because they are not there with Musa when Khidir was telling Musa the reason why he did that. But he did it because he said, وَمَنْ فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي, I did not do it for my own self, which is what Allah told me to do, so as to help them safeguard their source of living. So Allah told me to put a dent on it so that it won't be collected from them. So even if you are passing through a difficult situation, maybe you lost your job, you lost your spouse, you don't know the reason behind it. Then he said about the boy, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ, his parents are believers in Almighty Allah. His parents are close friends of Almighty Allah. They'd be like, so they are even believers, and he still killed their kids. He said, وَخَشِينَ أَيْنُوا هِكَهُمَا تُبِيَانُوا وَكُفُرَ, but we fear that this boy, if he should grow old, he will turn his parents to disbelievers. He will turn his parents to enemies of Almighty Allah. So, to preserve the faith and belief, you know, even on earth, now we have situations, we have cases whereby people that are believers, that are strong Muslims, and they became disbelievers because of, you know, because of their kids, because of some kind of health conditions or some kind of situations that their kids are going through. Then you see them going to church or going to mountains or going to meet some, you know, herbalists and the likes because of, you know, trying to. So Khidir said that the reason why the boy was killed is that if the boy should grow old, the boy will turn his parents to disbelievers. He will make them to be among the dwellers of hellfire. So to preserve their faith, to preserve their qiyamah, to preserve their jannah, Allah make them cry on earth. Allah deprive them that boy so as to so as not to deprive them of the ultimate pleasure. So the pleasure in the hereafter is best and everlasting than this one that we are in right now. So whatever situation, whatever condition, so these are some of the things I do tell my patients having mental health conditions, that whatever situation you are going through, whatever, because even when Khidir was saying this, the parents of the boy, they did not know. They did not know the reason behind it. Because Khidir was telling Musa, he did not tell the parents of the boy that this boy, the reason why I killed him is this. So to the parents, what they know is that they killed our son, they killed our son, they killed our son. And even in the verse of the Quran, it shows that that is their only child. It shows that that is their only child. So the lesson there is that whatever Allah takes from you, whatever Allah deprives you with, Allah has something better. And that's why he said in the Quran, that wa'asa an takaw shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum, wa'asa an tuhibu shay'an wa huwa sharrun lakum, wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah said, perhaps you might love something, but that thing that you love is bad for you. That is, there is something bad underneath it that is not apparent to you. And perhaps you might hate something, you might detest something, you might not want something, but that thing that you detest, that thing that you don't want, perhaps Allah puts so many blessings and mercies and, you know, so many goodness under it. So just leave Allah to do as he does, and he does what is best for his slaves. So these are some of the ways I've been able to effectively manage my patient's mental health conditions. Then I mean, for this patient I'm talking about, so after this series of, you know, orientation, this faith building exercise that I took her through, then recommended and gave her some recommendations like habatus sauda, eat ginger, be taking these kind of foods, bananas, apples and the likes. So, but the ultimate, you know, therapy that works well is to make them understand that this particular test of faith you are passing through is just for a meantime. It's just for the meantime, and Allah has something best for you in reserve. So I would have loved to share my own wife experience also, but because of time, let's go ahead. I've taken a lot of time.
No. I think we can give you a minute or two. A minute.
Okay.
Briefly.
Yes. Okay. Good. So I lost my wife last year, and alhamdulillah for everything. This wife of mine, she was a Christian initially. I also I was a Christian. For my name, you have seen that. You'll be like, Andrew, yes, I was a Christian evangelist. Alhamdulillah, al-animat in Islam. So this is my wife. I said she's a Christian, and she's from the East. She's from the East, Igbo. Now, she has a condition. She's a sickle cell patient. She's a sickle cell patient. She has a series of health conditions. She has liver problems. She has kidney problems. She has otosplenectomy. She has wound on both legs. She has severe anemia. She has host of health conditions. Now, there were five in numbers. I mean, as siblings, they were all five in numbers. She's the only patient, she's the only one that is a sickle cell patient. The rest of our siblings, two of them are AA, two of them are AS. Now, whenever she is passing through these pains, this, you know, alhamdulillah, may Almighty Allah use it to cleanse her spirit away. So, whenever she's passing through these difficult moments, sometimes it will come to, she just says like, why is it only like, why is this, the test is too much. Then I did tell her that, if you look at the mercy that Almighty Allah has bestowed upon you, it is this condition that you, it is this situation, this pain you are passing through that takes you to the hospital. If you were in the hospital and that was where Hidayah came to meet you, her name is Hidayah actually. So you were in the hospital, you were admitted for over a year in the hospital, and that was where you met Islam. Now you met Islam, alhamdulillah, al-animat in Islam. You yourself, because she learned a little bit, and she understands that no, this is the ultimate way to Jannah. It is very unambiguous. It is, Islam is too convincing, and the evidences are just too overwhelming. So now I told her that, look at the test that Allah used to guide you to the straight path. Look at your siblings. They are very healthy. They are very okay, but they are not guided. Because perhaps Allah knows the reason, perhaps they will still be guided, but you got guided before them. So Allah deprived you good health. Allah, perhaps if you have good health, perhaps you won't become a Muslim. Perhaps if you have good health, you will engage in so many sins and transgressions and crimes. So Allah used this health condition to, you know, to guide you and also to guide your actions so as to preserve your qiyamah. And the qiyamah is the one that will be everlasting. That is the joy that won't have any end. So if Allah should give you this dunya and you got deprived of qiyamah, please, what is the benefit? So now Allah is making you pass through all these tests. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the ahadith of the Prophet that, you know, it gives you that hope, that happiness. He said that ahlul bala, those that are afflicted with any form of affliction here on earth, yawm al qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, the reward they will be given, the way Allah will honor them, the way Allah will, you know, bestow his blessings on them on the day of resurrection, those of us that don't have similar tests and temptation and tribulations and afflictions like them, we will tell Allah that, Allah, please let us go back to the earth so you can afflict us with the same affliction you afflict these people with, so that we can get the same reward they are getting. I don't know if you are getting the message in that hadith. Yeah, at least you will be jealous those people that pass through different series of, you know, tribulations and afflictions, when you start seeing them getting the huge reward for their patience before Almighty Allah. Mm. So these are some of the things that you tell her, and it gives her that, you know, that happiness, and, you know, till Almighty Allah took her life. And I hope and I pray and I am very optimistic that Almighty Allah will be merciful with her and shower her with endless mercy.
Amen, nah. Amen, 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 amen. May Allah forgive her shortcomings and grant her Jannah. Amen. Jazakallah khairan for that. With what you just shared with us now, what will be your advice to our listeners and those who are battling silently with a lot of things, actually stress, or let me say sadness? What will be your advice to them?
Now, Almighty Allah said in the Quran that wala tahinu wala tahzanu antum a'launa in kuntum mu'minin. Allah said wala tahinu, do not be sad, do not grieve, wala tahzanu, and do not be sad, antum a'launa, you verily you will overcome whatever you are passing through life. This is from the Quran. The one who created us and who tests us with this series of, you know, test of faith, is telling us that do not grieve and do not be sad, for verily antum a'launa, verily you will overcome, if only if you truly believe in Almighty Allah. In kuntum mu'minin, there is a condition there, that if you believe in Almighty Allah, you believe in him as much as he deserves to be believed in and worshipped, then forget it, you will overcome whatever situation you're passing through in life. Then secondly is that passing through tests, passing through, you know, series of emotional downslide and the likes here on earth, these are some of the rudiments of life. There is no one that will always be happy. We will always have our bad side. And that's when the Quran that watilika al-ayyam, you know, that we do have in the nest. The way Allah created the earth is that sometimes it will be in favor of you and sometimes it will be against you. Sometimes you will be sad, sometimes you will be happy, sometimes you will be, you know, you'll be overjoyed because of the things, because of the happenings that are happening to you, and sometimes you will just be down. Sometimes you will feel, you know, like, why is this happening to me? So this is the way Almighty Allah structured the earth. Then Allah said in the Quran that verily those that can be patient in such an instant, Allah said, wajazahum bima sabaru jannatan wa harira. Verily their reward, the reward of those who are patient, because of their patience, is al jannah. Now, sabru, being patient, you can't be patient if things is going right. Like, you can't tell someone who has eaten, who is, like, everything is going rosy and everything is going smooth for, you can't tell the person to be patient. No, you just have the person to be appreciative, to appreciate God Almighty. So someone who you will tell to be patient is someone who is passing through test of faith, tribulations, afflictions. So I want to say that the reward for those that are tested, that are afflicted, and they are patient They remain steadfast and they are patient. Their reward will be with Almighty Allah, and that is Jannah. In another verse of the Quran, Allah said, the angels will be coming to them and said, Salamun alaykum, tibetum bima sabartum, wa ni'ma uqba dar. The angels will be telling them that peace and blessing of Allah be upon you. Tibetum bima sabartum, be happy because of the patience you have when you were on earth. That is, because you were tested and you remained steadfast and you remained patient when you were on earth. This is the best reward. This is the best place to end one's journey. That is, ending your journey in Jannah, that is just the best. There is no other option. That is just what we want. It's either Jannah or Jannah. May Almighty Allah make us among the dwellers of Jannah. So whatever you are passing through, it's very essential that you are patient. You have to remain patient and steadfast. You do what is within your capacity. You take the right steps, but have it at the back of your mind that even if things are not going the way you plan, the way you wish, the way you want, there is always a reason behind it. Allah has a reason behind it, which might not be apparent to you. So for that reason, just trust Him and trust the process and do what is within your own capacity and rely upon Him. Although those who rely upon Allah, they would never be disappointed by Almighty Allah.
Jazakallah Karan, thank you very, very much to our brother, our ustaz, our guest, for the insight he has given to us. May Allah reward you abundantly.
Amen.
And to our children, of course, we all know that May 27th, we celebrate you every year. But then, we Muslims, Hempak, everyday Muslim, we celebrate you every day. The message to you now is, always choose the path of honor, no matter what is happening around you. Be upright, go with the positive impact of the internet and social media. Remember, you stand before Allah as an individual. That's our message from MPAC, Everyday Muslim. We wish you all a very reflective Children's Day.
You are please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off, please.
Go ahead.
Shall I go ahead?
Go ahead.
Okay, please. A minute message to the kids, please, okay. If that's permissible. I won't exceed a minute, please allow them.
Okay.
Okay. So I believe that we have kids and parents amidst us in this program today. So I will be listing out like 4 points that we should make sure that we impact on them. And, you know, so it's very, very essential that we teach our kids du'as. We connect them with Almighty Allah. Teach them dua to make in different situations. So let them know the dua to make while going out, while coming back, while facing anything of fear and anxiety, while facing any challenge of life. There are prophetic recommendations, there are prophetic duas for all of these situations. So it's very essential that we as parents and teachers, that we should teach them. So with this, it makes them connected to Almighty Allah, and it makes them to stand firm facing the life challenges. Also, healthy foods. You know, they are kids. They are not the ones to select or choose the kind of food they want to eat. So we as parents, we should, you know, cultivate in them the habit of healthy diet, make them get used to dates, make them get used to food, make them get used to honey instead of using sugar in most cases. Use honey. This will positively have, you know, impact on their mental health. Also, good sleep is very, very essential. Good sleep, like at this stage of their life, their brain needs to be properly taken care of. And one of the ways to take care of your mental health is to ensure that you have good sleep, you have good rest. So let them rest very well, let them sleep very well, at least like 7 to 8 hours. Let them, even 8 hours is like the minimum for them. So let them let them have that. So showing kindness to them, being merciful to them, being gentle with them, giving them this focus, they are very, very important.
Jazakallah Karan, I know that you have a lot that you want to give to them. But at the same time, our time is fast spent. Jazakallah Karan to MPAC and WFM for this wonderful episode. And thank you very much to my producer, Ayomide, and Timile, and and Ilari Izakolo. Thank you very much. I'm Rashida Adetunmi Okeolaniyo. Same time next week. Let's meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.